Good morning. I'm Bernie. In case you didn't know, that's who I am. This is a kilt, and some of you have asked, why are you wearing a kilt?
Can we dismiss the children, please?
Oh, of course you can dismiss the children. You better all not go. See you guys. Have a good time. Anyway, why am I wearing a kilt? Someone asked me last week when I got here, where is your kilt? And I went, I didn't wear it. And I said, I can wear it the next time. So I wore it. And Dr. Norris, a number of years ago, I'd asked him, I said, do you mind if I wear a kilt? He says, as long as you have some Scottish heritage, I don't care. So I wear a kilt once in a while. Not all the time. If you want to know what I have underneath this, I have a pair of shorts, and it says Army right across here. Army strong. I wasn't in the Army, I was in the Navy, but anyway. So, we started last week with this idea of now what, right? How many have had a now what situation this week? At least one. Life going along well, and now what? Oh man, are you kidding me? I mean, yesterday was supposed to be a nice day and it was raining. Now what am I going to do? Everything I planned on doing sort of got delayed. So remember, we looked at this verse. So when the disciples, So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? I'll tell you what. I think this is an interesting question. And I don't think it's a question that you and I wouldn't have asked Christ the same thing. I mean, I think that, you know, the fact that he's been crucified, he's risen, and they thought from the beginning that he was going to restore the earthly kingdom. They hadn't changed. And I think this sort of shows us that they had an attitude about what it meant that Jesus was going to do. But their attitude was flawed. How many know that sometimes our attitude isn't really what we ought to have? One of my granddaughters, her six-year-old daughter, which would be my great-granddaughter, I have to laugh because my granddaughter, this particular granddaughter, when she was growing up, she was all attitude. You know the kind I'm talking about? Anyone here like that? Huh? All attitude. And my great-granddaughter, she's got attitude. She does have attitude. But in the situation of the apostles and Jesus, the apostles had an attitude that was earthly. I mean, they thought in earthly terms. They looked at what happened to Jesus and the fact that he was alive, and they said, well, obviously, he's going to establish the kingdom. Obviously, that's what he's going to do. But Jesus, on the other hand, had a heavenly attitude, didn't he? He said, it's not for you to know right now. Only the Father in heaven knows. And the problem is in what now situations we have a default response. And our default response most typically is an earthly response. We look at the situation and we try to solve it from an earthly position. And so the question this morning is, what's yours? What's your default? Do you when something happens, do you go to your knees and pray? Or are you like me, look for a solution? Fix it. How many like to fix things? Right? I mean, I'm ready to fix it. And yet, at the same time, I can tell you that I have said to my wife, you know, I'll say, I'm struggling with something. And she'll get into this therapist mode. Well, how long have you been feeling this way? And I'm like, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen to me. I'm not looking to be fixed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not always ready to be fixed. I just want to tell someone. And after 52 years, we still have communication problems sometimes. You know? But, so, there. When a now what situation happens, what's your default? What's the first thing you do? Do you panic? I can tell by some responses that you do. That's sort of funny. I mean, it's interesting to me. Panic, right? Well, there's an attitude that we have, and part of what I want to do is challenge the attitude. And here's the first thing. The question is this happening to me or for me? See, oftentimes when things happen, we become the victim. We become the victim as if it's happening to us. Think about Jesus for a moment. When Jesus was crucified, gone to the cross, did it happen to him or for us? It happened for us. Although it happened to him, it was for us. There are things that go on in your life, what now situations that happen, that are actually a blessing in disguise, and you just don't know it. And you are looking for an earthly solution, and God says, look higher. Because what's going on in your life is my plan. If you read the story of Joseph in Genesis, you know Joseph. Joseph was the guy that got his brothers, put him in a well, and then he was sold into slavery. And then he went to Potiphar's house, and things were going great, and Potiphar's wife accused him of inappropriate behavior. He wound up in jail. And in jail, he was doing pretty good. He befriended some guys, told them what their dreams meant, and they got freed, and they went off, and they forgot him. But later, when Joseph was right hand to the Pharaoh, and his brothers showed up for food, Joseph said to them, "Do not be angry with yourselves for what has happened, for God had intended it from the beginning." You see, sometimes the thing that's going on in your life, God has a purpose in it. He has a plan in it. Not everything. If you look at my thumb, you see my thumb? It's got a boo-boo, right? Yeah. Nails, thumbnails, and hammers don't mix. You ever hit yourself with a hammer? So the other day I'm working in my shed and I hit my hammer or hit my thumb with a hammer. It was a now what moment because I wanted to scream. I wanted to say some words that weren't good to use either. And I'm thinking, you know, I felt like a victim, right? But I'm the one that hit myself. But I'm feeling, I want to do something. I mean, my thumb is feeling like I can feel my pulse. You know that feeling? Doom, doom, doom. I have on my watch, I have an Apple Watch. And I have it programmed for every hour. It will buzz me and I'll look down and it says, breathe. Now, I know you go, you have to be reminded to breathe. No, I have to be reminded to stop and relax. And in that moment when I'd hit my thumb, I needed to be reminded to stop and relax. And it took me a few minutes to gain my composure and breathe. Why? Because I was reacting. I wasn't responding. I was reacting. And the attitude that I had in that moment was not a good attitude. Look, your intentions and your directions are never the same. What you intend to do and the direction that you go in isn't always the same. Paul said it this way, the very things I desire to do, I don't do. And the very things I desire not to do, I do do. Andy Stanley said it this way, direction, not intention, determines your destiny. The road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. How many of you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is grab coffee? Thank God, because I would hate to see you without it. But why do we do that? Why do we do that? You didn't always do that, did you? It's habit. It's habit. And the problem in now what situations is that we often follow our habitual or our habits to the way we react and respond to things. There's a thing that we do not engage in, it's called our brain. You ever done something and felt stupid for doing it? What was I thinking? Social media. You either love it or hate it. Yesterday I was looking at a post that was done in the area that I live in, and there were 96 responses to the post. So I had to read them all. But what I was really noticing was how many people were responding to something that they knew nothing about and only had one person's interpretation of the event. And probably 90% of those responses were, that is terrible. I can't believe that happened to you. You should get a lawyer. You should do this and you should do the other thing. And I'm going, what's the rest of the story? What's the rest of the story that we're not hearing? And it almost started out with, now what do you believe happened where I live? But just because our intentions are good, it doesn't mean that the direction that we take will be the same. They won't be congruent. They won't be identical. So, what did God tell the disciples to do? What did he tell them to do? This is what Jesus said, go wait and pray. How many of you like waiting? I've seen some of you in checkout lines. You don't like it. I went into Sheetz the other day and every pump had a car at it. And I'm going, you're kidding me. And then I saw one that was open and I whipped my truck around only to find that there was a Harley sitting there. I'm going, you know, I mean, none of you I know ever do this. You go in and you pump gas at Sheetz, and then you leave your vehicle at the pump and go in and go to the bathroom and you order some food. And a half an hour later, you come out and get in your vehicle and you leave. I hate you. But here's the deal. Sometimes God has allowed that in your life for an opportunity to wait because you need it. Are you a person that's always on the go? Are you a person that can't sit down? Are you a person who's got to be in control? I mean, if I said, let's just sit for a moment. Some of you would be within 30 seconds of my silence would be going, what? What did you want? Nothing. I just want to sit. Okay, we've sat. What now? Right? You can identify. I mean, I'm like that. I'm like, my wife will say, let's sit down because we need to talk. I know what's coming. She doesn't mean that she wants me to talk. She means keep your lips shut and open your ears because you need to listen. And I don't know, but I believe that God is the same way. And that when God says wait and pray, He doesn't mean run your gums. I don't think He means that. In fact, what He said was wait until the power comes. And the power that Jesus was referring to was dunamis. That's the Greek. It means dynamite. Wouldn't you like that? Would you? I mean, you know, the problem is when God says wait, it's like our kids. When we tell our kids wait, why? I don't want to wait. I said to my great-grandson yesterday at service, he wasn't acting up during the service, but I said, you want something to eat? And his word for food is yum, yum, yum. And so I took him out in the lobby and gave him sugared cookies or donuts for just to help his mother out, you know. And he was like, yum. He ate, you know, just a little piece. I didn't give him a big piece. I said, you want another? Yeah. He's going to be two next month. And
Tomorrow.
Oh, he's going to be two tomorrow. Hope my granddaughter didn't hear that. But listen, wait and pray. That's what we're told. But what do we do? What do we do next? We get into the solving. That's what I do. We get into the solving. Or we get into this thing called worry. Worry. You don't worry, do you? No, because you don't worry. You do this. You fret. We have words for things because we don't want to do the other thing. So we have a substitute word for what we're not supposed to do. How do I know? Because when I grew up, anger was never a good thing in my home. And so as an adult, I never got angry. I got annoyed. I got perturbed. I got frustrated. I got a lot of other things, but I never got angry. Because anger was a bad thing. So if worry is a bad thing, I don't worry. I fret a little. I become a little uneasy. I don't worry. But here's the other thing. We project. What is projection? Projection is predicting what the outcome of a situation is going to be and then reacting to it. Now, this isn't actually happening to me. I want to clarify this. But let's say that I find something. My wife said to me the other day, you have gotten a lot more moles than you used to have. Maybe you ought to have that checked out. Maybe I got cancer. And I start to project what could mean with the moles that I have. And you know, if you get older, your body just starts to fall apart anyway. And you start projecting about what this pain means. Or, you know, you get an uncomfortable pain in your chest at my age. And you go, maybe I'm having a heart attack. And you project then what's happening. And then you start to react to what you're projecting. And now you've got to go sit down and you can't finish what you're going to do because you're having a heart attack, maybe. Now, I know some of you never project, right? You know how to keep a turkey in suspense? I'll tell you later. You get a phone call from someone or a text message. Text message are better, right? A text message. We need to talk when I get home. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? I wonder what's going on. What did I do? It's always, what did I do? What's happening? We project, don't we? And typically we go to an earthly situation. But God says, wait and pray. God says, don't react. Respond. Wait and pray. So here's some things. Here's some things that you can do. Whatever's going on in the now what situation, invite Jesus into it. Invite Jesus into it. You see, when the disciples were told to go wait and pray, what were they waiting for? They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know as they knew what they were waiting for, but Jesus said, go and wait. You will get what you need when it's right. And it wasn't anything that they could rush because it was coming from a heavenly source, not an earthly source. But we have a tendency not to want to do that. Why? Because we want solutions now. We wanted answers now. And so when Jesus said to wait and pray, part of what he's saying is, involve me. Bring Jesus into the situation. Why? Because he's got a different view than you do. All we're doing is seeing what's going on right now. But Jesus sees the tomorrows. Do you know there's a scripture in the word that says something like he knows the plans that he has for you? You ever heard that? He knows the plans. So he knows how this situation will affect his plans for you. The other thing we need to learn how to do is ask questions. Ask questions. One of the things that I've learned is that when I ask questions, I get information. And when I get information, the more information I have, it's sort of like diagnostics. When you go to the doctor, he asks questions, doesn't he or she? Why? Trying to get to the source, trying to get to the root issue. So one of the questions that I like is this. In the scope of eternity, what does this matter? This situation that I'm dealing with, in the scope of eternity, what does it really matter? Some of you have had now what situations last week that you don't remember what they were. Why? Because the reality is that in the scope of eternity, half of the things or 99% of the things in life just don't mean that much. And some of the things that happen for a very good reason, and you can look back and say, I'm glad it happened, but in the moment it was a trial. James says something really, really interesting. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Why? Because it's going to work things in you that are profitable. It's going to help you in your area of faith, of patience. I know we don't like them. I don't like them. Sometimes when the phone rings, and we have caller ID now. Okay, for some of you, let me explain that. The reason I said that was because when I was some of your ages, I had 8-party lines with no caller. I mean, yeah, 8 parties, 1 line, 8 people, 8 homes. Used it. How many remember party lines? We had 8-party lines. When I was 12, there was a girl that I sort of liked, and we would talk, and it wasn't her, although she kissed me in second grade, but sort of, you know. So there was a girl, her name was Kathy McKillop, and her mother was a switchboard operator. Okay? I know. All right. So in that day, you picked up the phone, and the operator said, number please. Okay, I'm an old guy. And she would then patch you to where you needed to be calling. And I can remember talking on the phone with Kathy one night, and her mother butt in and said, you two have talked long enough. Goodbye. Click. Pulled the plug on us. I was probably devastated, but guess what? That now what situation, praise God, I married her. And not Kathy. She found me on Facebook. Oh. But the thing is, in the scope of eternity, what does it really matter? Half the things don't matter. The other thing is, how important is it? How important is it? Listen, folks, half the things that go on are just not that important. We think they're important, but they're not that important. In the scheme of eternity, they mean nothing. And so we need to ask questions about the thing that's going on. And the other thing is, the question is, am I part of the problem or part of the solution? Do you know some things that are going on in our lives, those now what situations, are caused by us? When we should have been using our brain, we used our mouth. You ever had the moment when you said something and you go, whoa, what was I thinking? Right? I said to a guy, so a number of years ago, I was in the car with a guy I knew, and I said, hey, I saw your brother last week. He said, no, you didn't. I said, oh, yeah, I did. No, you did not see my brother last week. And you know, I was right. And so I kept insisting. No, I saw your brother. And he said, no, we buried him 2 weeks ago. Why didn't I keep my mouth shut? Who was part of the problem? I caused that now what moment. There's a saying that I have that you are the most dangerous, and you can fill in the blank, but I've often used that you are the most dangerous to the kingdom of God when you're right. But you're the most dangerous to your relationship when you're right. You're the most dangerous in your employer with your employer when you're right. Why? Because when you're right, everyone else is wrong. And if you are like a lot of people when you're right, you will try to get them to agree with your thinking. You ever been so wrong that you just couldn't see it? I have been. So what do? We wait and we pray. We wait and we pray. What does that mean? Whoops. We do nothing. We do nothing. There's a book entitled Two Chairs. Anyone heard that? You can actually buy it in Ollie's, or you could a couple weeks ago. But Two Chairs is just that you start to create a habit of sitting down in the morning for prayer with an empty chair and invite Jesus to sit in that chair. And in doing so, you ask him about your day and about the things that are ahead of you. You ask him for his wisdom, for his guidance. And then you do something that for all of us, I think, is hard. You listen. How many are already uncomfortable with the silence? You ever been with someone who takes a long time to answer a question? My wife will tell you that I don't know if it's the way it used to be, but she would get so frustrated with me because she would ask a question and she would get silence. And what do you think she would interpret? She would interpret things like, you didn't hear me, you don't care about what I'm saying, you're not listening, all those kinds of things. Why was I waiting? Because I'm very, very focused on how I'm going to respond to her. And I pick my words very, very cautiously. Some of you do that. But the silence would kill her. The silence for some of you right now is not something you feel comfortable with. But God is calling us to listen. Be still, he says. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Some of you can't be still without fidgeting. I get it. Being still can involve things. But the idea is, quiet yourself. Quiet yourself. And while you are listening, let your request be known. That's what Jesus said. Let your request be known. Tell him what you need. But don't get a gum disease. Don't get the lips flapping so much that you can't hear. So in waiting and praying, and this is the most important, first of all, learn to do nothing. I have found that very little needs a very quick response to. Most things don't need that. Most things, if you just take a moment and just do nothing, just step back and listen. And ask questions. God, what does this mean? Lord, what do I do? Lord, how do I respond to this? Should I even respond at all? Sometimes the best thing to do in doing nothing is don't even respond to it. Why? Because in responding, you only keep it going. You only keep it going. Listen for an answer. I love it when Elijah is in the cave and he's listening for God. He's waiting for God. And there's a huge storm comes up and he runs out of the cave and he says, God, is that you? You probably know the story. When God shows up, it was a still, small voice. How about when Samuel? Was it Samuel? Young man sleeping. And the voice of God says, Samuel. And he comes running. Master, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Goes back to bed. Samuel. It was God. It was God. And the thing is that oftentimes you can't hear God when you're talking. You can't hear God when you're so involved in something that you miss him. And the last thing is this. Do nothing until you're sure of your next step. Do nothing until you are sure of your next step. Have you ever run off and done something and found you're out there all alone? No one's gone with you? Because the other people saw the foolishness of your action? See, now what situations are coming all the time. Every day, you have situations that are coming that you go, now what? Use that as a prayer. Now what, Lord? Now what, Lord? What do I do now, Lord? And I believe that he gives you answers if you will be silent enough to listen. To listen. As we close, if you're dealing with something right now, I'm just going to ask that you take your hand and you just put it over your heart. Because that's what you need to guard. Your heart, your soul. From the things that are being bombarded against you. And we're going to pray that God not only protect it, but give you the answers to what you need to do in this situation. Let's pray. Father, as we are dealing with life, there is an earthly answer and there is a heavenly answer. And we know the earthly answer so, so well. But the heavenly answer we often miss. We miss because we are so engrossed in what now that we miss the what are you saying, Lord. We're reminded that you bring peace and joy and that you want to give that to us in abundance. Help us to turn from that thing that's holding us to the freedom that you have promised for us. Help us to remember that there's no weapon that's been formed that will prosper against us. So even this thing that we're dealing with has no power unless I give it power. Because you have said that I am more than a conqueror through you who strengthens me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship the Lord as we close today.